images on screen to any audio that natural navigation becomes available. This station will now see the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome, Cameron.
Will you be my Valentine?
It is. It's Valentine's Day, isn't it?
It is.
It's a beautiful Valentine's Day.
It's a really beautiful Valentine's
Day. How's your Valentine's Day been so far?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I've left and went to work.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still Valentine's
Day. Chocolate with a little note.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's really nice.
It is real nice.
I like that. What's been going on, though, man? Anything interesting, fun?
Not really. Just dealing with the flu season.
Oh, yeah.
It's like tax season for me.
Is it?
Well, it basically is tax season as well.
It is. Yeah, it's both things.
But yeah, just same old, just trudging through the sickness.
Dang. Super fun. Yeah, that does sound fun.
Mm-hmm.
We got some good stuff to talk about today, though, right?
We have a couple articles
that are kind of funny.
Yep.
We're actually going to talk about some survival boxes. We got some survival boxes. Yeah. So we're going to do that.
We're not going fully into a conspiracy theory this time. I wanted to, we're kind of in this Cold War, like, obsessed with civil defense, all that. So we're going to add a little bit of chaos to that.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't listened to our previous episode, we talked about civil defense in the 50s and the 60s. During the Cold War and the crazy stuff we did. And today we're going to talk about like some of the crazy programs and things that went on during the Cold War.
Holy Basically, crap. When there's a rush to be superior
and
a panic of who's going to attack first, they just come up with the most bizarre, craziest, stupidest, and really like embarrassing types of things to try and.
Yeah, some of it's bad.
It is really bad.
So
we'll mention some of those things.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice, easy quickie today, you know, since it's Valentine's Day.
A quickie is what you want.
Yeah, it's exactly what you want. So speaking of Valentine's Day, I found this. This is a really good program that they got going on in Oregon that I thought would be fantastic for anybody.
They usually have good programs in Oregon.
Yeah, they do. That have an ex out there that they would want to celebrate some Valentine's with.
An ex.
Huh. An ex.
What do you do?
What
happens?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, okay? So this says, everybody deals with breakups differently, Cameron. And for some, that might include naming their ex after a fish before it's been fed to brown bears. So a wildlife center in Grants Pass, Oregon, is giving spurned lovers the opportunity to do just that just in time for Valentine's Day. So all you got to do for a $20 donation, they will For a $20 donation, the Animal Rehab Center will name a salmon after the ex of your choosing and feed it to their bears. Send you a certificate and photos of Cody and Yak enjoying the salmon named after your former love.
That's actually a really good idea.
I think it's awesome.
Raise some money.
Yeah.
Still feeding animals.
Exactly. So
you bite its head off.
They also said...
could you send me pictures of its body ripped to pieces, please?
Yeah, I know. But there's a place in England which is allowing people to name cockroaches after their ex-lovers.
Yeah.
This is much less expensive. It's only $2. So it all just kind of depends
helpful.
On how much money you your
do
what
they
your
feed
cash
it,
for.
Or they like crush them, or
no,
what do they do?
They just name it. Oh, they just name the cockroach.
Just let it live?
Yeah, they let it live.
Gross.
They're just disgusting, right? So if you're looking for something for Valentine's Day for an ex, that's a really, really good thing, I think. So speaking of bears, I don't know if you've seen this, Cam, but this is crazy. A polar bear invasion is terrorizing Russians on a remote Arctic island with more than 50 beasts besieging one town.
Holy crap.
Can you imagine?
Four bears out there.
A state of emergency has been declared on Soviet nuclear testing archipelago Novaya Zemla as the beasts enter the front doors of apartment blocks. 50 of them.
Holy crap.
Can you imagine?
It's a test site, too.
Yeah, well, that's what it says. It's a
Maybe
Soviet nuclear
bears.
Test. I know.
We're tired of this.
This is ridiculous.
Get out.
I got too many legs.
50 poor bears. I thought they were like going extinct.
I thought they were
they
too.
They all lived in one spot.
I don't know. The Russians probably stole them all.
Apparently.
You don't know what the Russians are doing.
This is probably some plan that they have.
I know.
We're going to use polar bears to attack the United States. One, they won't attack the polar bears.
Yeah, they won't.
And two, there's so many of them, they're just going to ravaged the whole West Coast.
And so despite the siege, residents have been warned that they face prosecution if they shoot the endangered species.
Oh, my
species.
Gosh, yeah, that's the thing.
So people are afraid to go outside. Their daily life is in turmoil. parents are
I'm
wary.
Telling you, this is a Russian plan. They're figuring it out.
This could have been happening since the Cold War, and this is just sort of finally getting to the point where they've got enough of these suckers.
It's time to attack.
Yeah.
So you see airdrops with animals in them.
I know. That. So anyways.
Maybe polar bear was a good choice. They drop it in the California.
I know.
Right in the desert.
Yeah.
Aww.
Polar bear died really quickly. This bad idea.
Maybe polar bear wasn't a great choice.
Milos did not think this through as I should have.
They were prepared.
Yeah. So that I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing.
That is bizarre.
Our friends the Russians always have something going
on.
Man,
that country's fascinating.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Russia.
Meanwhile, in North Carolina, Cameron, a man was arrested for allegedly breaking into a college student's apartment and wearing her clothing. That's not even the weird part. Some of this is just funny.
That's normal.
Yeah. Andrew Swafford, sorry, Andrew, if you're listening, was charged after the University of North Carolina at Greensboro student came home on Saturday and allegedly found the man in her closet. So he's in the closet. She said, I just heard rattling in my closet. It sounded like a raccoon in my closet. Or what is that? Is that a raccoon?
Another raccoon?
What's going on?
Second time this week.
I know. Maddie, who requested her first name only be used, told Fox 8, I'm like, who's there? And somebody answers me. He's like, my name is Drew. I open the door and he's there wearing all of my clothes, my socks,
She's
my
probably
shoes.
Like a talking raccoon.
And he has a book bag full of my clothes. So Maddie and her roommates reportedly thought Swafford was a ghost at first. She said she's recently had shirts and pants mysteriously disappear. After meeting Swafford in her closet, Maddie said she called her boyfriend and talked to the suspect to distract him. He tries on my hat. He goes to the bathroom and looks in the mirror and then is like, you're really pretty. Can I give you a hug?
Oh, my gosh.
But he never touched me. Maddie told the news station it's unclear how the man got inside the apartment. According to online records, he was charged with felony breaking and entering, among other counts. He was held on $6,000 bond.
Posing as a raccoon.
Yeah, I thought it was a raccoon. I thought I was going to have dinner.
Is that a raccoon? Who's there?
My raccoon trap worked.
You're that ghost.
I got a stupid 26-year-old male in there. Didn't want that.
Oh, my gosh. That's like the epitome of weird.
I know, dude. Man, my iPad's being really dumb. It's
I hate iPads.
Crap. I had one more, but it's not opening for me for some reason, so we might just have to move on.
Is it this one?
Huh?
Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah.
Which one?
It's all right.
No, woman? Son?
Yeah. It's not coming up. That's okay, though. We'll get that one next time.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
So that's just a few fun articles to start our Valentine's
Day.
Amazing
world we live in.
I know.
Beautiful.
Cameron, let's look at those survival boxes real quick. Why we're here and why we're together. Let's just look at them.
Yeah, okay.
So if you're looking for a Valentine's Day present,
looking at them.
If you're looking for a Valentine's Day present and it's like last minute,
look no further
than survival boxes.
Seriously.
Use our code CASUALPREPPERS. You're gonna get some money off, and you're gonna look like a hero.
Seriously, this would be an amazing gift.
Yeah, it is. So we got the gear only here, right? We got the gear only.
This is a great box.
It's a fantastic box. The value is $72.
I believe it.
All right. So the first one is the Lansky Utility Electrician's Knife. Did you find that knife, Lansky?
Right here.
Yeah, $10.50.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Because with the having an electrician's knife, it has like a little groove so you can strip wire.
Mm-hmm.
It's just set up a little different than your common knife.
Yeah.
What is that little lip right there?
I don't know.
Anyway, these are, because if any of you have ever tried to strip wire with your regular knife,
it's not easy.
You cut right down to the copper.
Yeah. Or you cut your finger off. One of the two.
So that's pretty cool. I've never seen,
That's a knife. There's the Eco X Gear Exo Charge Waterproof Power Bank and Flashlight, $39.99
value. 3,200 mAh.
Ooh.
That's good. That's a lot of milliamps there.
Yeah. So it's a waterproof power bank, right?
Yeah. These are awesome. Throw them in your bag. You can do all kinds of stuff with them. Oh, charge man. Lights. You can charge stuff. You mm-hmm. can carry them.
Yeah, it's really cool. So that's a
they are really nice.
$40 value.
I used them a ton when I was mm-hmm. driving around in that RV.
Yeah. Then there's the StanSport emergency light, dynamo and solar flashlight. It's $12 value. That's just
a little basic, like one yeah. you could just throw in a.
In a kit somewhere or something.
Probably in a vehicle.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Then there's the ExoGear HD solar panel power bank. A $99 value.
Is it really?
How cool is that?
Don't you have something similar that has little panels?
The only thing I've got that has panels like that is the thing that you took honey, didn't you?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've got a Goal Zero one, but it's not like that. That's different. What it was. Yeah.
That's cool, man. The yeah. panels are usually the most expensive yeah. part.
And then there's, as always, the survival knowledge card, right?
That is a delightful yeah. box.
Then we got the Bravo box.
Here's the Bravo box.
And right Bravo here. Is always one of our favorites.
This is a crossover, right? This is a mix.
No.
Or is this all food?
I believe food. Bravo is all food. All food. So it's a $37 box, and it's a $92 value.
Yeah. You got chicken and dumplings. You got uh-huh. noodles and chicken. Ooh. You got apple cinnamon cereal.
What?
Yeah, that's sweet. No way. Garlic herb mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Noodle soup.
Noodle soup.
And then this is a new one. Organic pineapple chipotle chili.
What? And that's Wise Company.
Yeah.
Nice.
I hadn't seen this one before.
No, that's a good one. Wow.
And then you get your MRE mm-hmm. and then an energy bar and some heirloom seeds. And the heirloom seeds are... Utah 52-70 celery.
Celery. That'll keep you going.
These aren't 52-72 or 73. These are 70.
Yes.
Man.
So then we got the...
it's cool. They even have the directions. I didn't even notice on those. They have the directions for planting.
Oh, they do, don't
the spacing
they?
Spacing and the depth.
That's very cool.
Really nice.
And then we have the Alpha box, correct?
Yes.
So this is the mix box, and this is a $40 value yeah. as well.
So if you just can't make up your mind,
yeah.
you're on the fence about a survival box.
You want gear?
Go with the Alpha box.
Yeah. So this has... does it have two or three meals?
Usually, yeah, two or three. Meals. Sometimes it says three. Before.
And it has some water pouches.
So mashed taters and mm-hmm. chicken dumplings, and then it's got... Four water packets.
Mm-hmm. And then it comes with the Lansky utility electrician's knife, again, just yep. like the other one. And then it has the ExoCharge waterproof power bank, just like the other
3200
one.
200 milliamp.
And then it also has the StanSport emergency light.
Yeah.
That Holy crap. Awesome. Well done, survival boxes. Yeah. So
never disappoint.
Ever. Like I said, guys, and then it always comes with survival knowledge cards. And this one is how to build a cheap solar panel system.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very cool.
That stuff's super confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, if you're looking for stuff like that, go to Survival Boxes. At least try it once. It's hard to be disappointed with these guys. It really is.
I don't know that we have we ever gotten a box where we're just like, nah, this is so-so. I don't think we have either.
I don't think so, man.
As soon as I see food in there, I'm like, it's a good one.
Yeah.
So, anyway, go get them.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the freaking insane stuff.
Yeah, so like we were talking about our previous podcast, we went into civil defense pretty heavily mm-hmm. And just the Cold War, like fear and all the stuff that it created. But basically, the government lost their minds as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so they came up with some different little schemes, and they came up with plans to protect themselves from the Soviets.
Yeah.
And why don't we talk about them?
Let's do it. Let's do all right. it.
The first one... I want to start off with one that I was like, our CIA came up with this, seriously?
Yeah.
This one's called the Acoustic Kitty.
That sounds really nice.
And this is for reals, okay? This isn't a conspiracy. This really happened. So the CIA, they figured, why don't we use cats as spies? And so they went to a vet, and this is in 1967. They had surgical implanted microphone in the ear canals and a radio transmitter so that they could hear back what the cats were listening to. And as everybody knows, cats are super easy to train.
Yeah.
And listen to everything you say. So their first test was they put this microphone in the cat, and they're like, we'll send it out in the park. We're going to listen to two men out in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
Immediately, the cat took off and got hit by a car.
Did it really? Oh, my God.
Right off the bat. But even after that, they're like, let's put some more funding into this. And
would have worked if it
they started
by
training
a car.
Cats to be able, you know, to... kind of direct them in a short distance to those locations where they could spy. You know, it's like, all right, we're going to... what's this cat doing in here?
It's like,
whose cat here?
Are they Russian or are they... Oh,
it was both.
I get you.
It was Russian and Austrian.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's like, where are you going to send a cat down into a radar room? It's
I
like,
know.
Get down in there. Hey, who let this Siamese cat in here?
I'm wondering, why didn't they use dogs?
I don't know.
100 times easier to train.
Dogs are more of a threat, I guess. You know, they're like,
you just get a little yappy dog, though.
Yeah. I don't think they, like, cats wander in and out of crap. Maybe that's why they're like,
yeah.
They're always rummaging around. Yeah. Nobody wants them.
That's true. Yeah.
So.
That is, man, that is so weird.
But that, anyway, they spent $20 million on this. A measly $20 million. On such a successful program. Good job.
It's a lot of kitties.
That's our United States Center of Intelligence. anyway.
Well, that's so weird.
Well, so on the, across the ocean, the British had some other ideas of protecting against the invasion of the Soviets or whatever.
Yeah.
So they came up with, it's called, well, formerly Blue Bunny. Project Blue Bunny.
So like the,
and then they changed it to Brown Bunny, and now it's ended up being Blue Peacock. I don't know if anybody has heard of this. This was in the 50s.
Yeah.
So they were basically worried about invasion of Soviets through Germany over and across.
Okay.
You know, anyway. Yeah. So what they did is to prevent invasion, they decided they're going to bury nuclear mines, which was such a good idea.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Why don't we just use... We see what it did to the Japanese.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to cross the lawn if they step on one of those. So they buried him deep in the ground, kind of near the Rhine is what I was reading. But anyway, I think they had him on the coast too. But they figured with the really cold ground, it was, since it had such intricate mechanisms inside of it, that they may fail with really cold weather. So they're like, what are we going to do? We're going to wrap it up. We can wrap it up with a bunch of cloth or some, you know, some wool thermal stuff.
Keep it warm.
But they're like, that probably won't work very well because it'll still, after time, penetrate in and freeze everything. So they came up with the idea of putting chickens, a live chicken, inside the mechanism so that the heat from the chicken would keep everything from freezing and failing.
That is so weird.
They figured it would last, you know, in there for a week or two with some food, and that would be long enough to keep it. I was like,
what?
I don't know what they were thinking. People thought this seriously was an... When the proposal was sufficiently outlandish that it was taken as an April Fool's Day joke. when the Blue Peacock file was declassified on April 1st, 2004. People were like, this is bull crap. But no, it, literally, there's tons of studies on it, and that they had this plan, and that they found chickens would probably give off enough heat to keep it. It's like,
I don't even understand the thinking.
I don't either. I don't know who's the guy in the back. How about we put chickens in it?
I got chickens.
That'll work. You know, wool's going to cost a lot. We're going to use a lot of sheep. Why don't we just put chickens in
there? Yeah, I mean, I got a couple of chickens at home. I'll let you use them, you know?
How long are they going to last? Well, we better retrieve the eggs if things go...
I don't even... That is just
so weird. I don't know.
Weird.
I'm like, holy crap. But the one thing, the one National Archives, the Tom O'Leary, head of education and interpretation at the National Archives, when they said it was an April Fool's joke, he said, it does seem like an April Fool's joke, but it most certainly is not. The civil service does not do jokes.
We ain't funny at all.
Hey, yeah, you think it's funny? It's not funny. We don't play funny.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that is
I was
crazy,
like,
man.
Oh, man, they're so paranoid about it. They're just like, let's just hurry and make something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Put some chickens in it.
God, so, man. I don't, yeah, that's crazy.
Fear is
that
quite
one
the,
just blows my mind. A couple
catalyst
of those,
is some bizarre
the
stuff.
The cats and the chickens, like, seriously, like
the dumbest animals, you know, the ones that you just like, I don't know.
That is so weird. Okay, so this one is pretty dang crazy. So I don't know if anyone's heard of Project Stargate, but this
I saw the series, it was pretty good.
Yeah, this is freaking weird, man. So in the late 60s, early 70s. Obviously, the Cold War was at its peak. You know, CIA grew concerned that the Soviets might be investigating psychic phenomena, right? And the Soviets were doing lots of really weird crap. The Rand Corporation even produced a 73 study warning that the Soviets were murdering baby bunnies on their submarines in an attempt to see if the mother rabbit could detect their pain from the surface.
Right.
Like, we're going to kill this bunny, see if that bunny says anything.
This bunny seems really disturbed right now.
Yeah. So they were doing those types of things. So we were like, oh, crap. They're gonna get the jump on us on the psychic abilities. We got to figure this out.
Imagine that mom, that mother bunny just sitting there and, like, maybe, like, scratches her ear. Oh, see?
This is proves our... our theory completely. You know?
I knew it.
So in the mid-70s, the CIA estimated the Soviets were pouring hundreds of millions of dollars a year into this research. And the Soviets wouldn't spend that kind of money unless they had achieved some success, no, right?
Scary.
Right? I mean,
well, apparently, 20 million, they must.
Yeah.
If the CIA is dumping 20 million into cats.
So the CIA is like, all right, we got to do our own stuff here. We got to do something, all right? All right, so Project Stargate, as it was known, was the code name for a U.S. government project intended to use psychic and supernatural phenomenon for spying and for military uses. Cameron, in one of his pages, it lays out why the government wants to use it. The benefits include the fact that it is passive, inexpensive, and there is no known defense. Nobody can defend against this.
Yeah, try to block your mind through that.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, right? So the first program started in 1970, and it was headed by a Scientologist. So, and many of the other psychics tested by the program were also Scientologists.
I believe.
So, the project continued in various incarnations until 1995. So, it went from 70
holy crap,
to 1995. Yeah. By which
just
time.
Guys staring at each other?
I know. It
can
had become.
Can you understand what I'm thinking?
Disorganized and lost its political backers. The final CIA report concluded that the program, in its various incarnations as INSCOM, Center Lane, Sunstreak, or Stargate, had never produced any useful intelligence, despite costing nearly $20 million over the decades.
Man, $20 million is the cutoff, I guess.
It is, yeah. So, psychoenergenetics, that's what it is, psychoenergenetics, for instance, describes a mental process where a person can perceive, communicate, or change characteristics of something or someone that it is separate from that person in space and time. So basically, they're somewhere else, someone else is in another place. With their mind, they can either communicate with them, see what they're doing, or change them in some way.
Didn't the Force do that?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're talking about. Yeah. It also describes things such as remote viewing. So remote viewing was a big one that they wanted. Yeah, so they would say, they would give these guys.
They'd use their eyeballs?
Coordinates. No, they give them coordinates somewhere out.
Oh,
you know,
gotcha.
And they'd say, okay, now I want you to concentrate and tell me what's going on there.
Whoa.
That's what they were doing.
And it'd be amazing if it worked.
They actually said they had some that, I don't know. They had some of the things said that they got some good results, but it's kind of a mixed bag, you know. There was telekinesis, like I said, moving objects and things like that. So the program was featured in the 2004 book and the 2009 film, The Men Who Stare at Goats. So that was the one with, who the heck was in it? George Clooney.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. Yep. So
I never did see that.
That's
what it was basically.
Yeah. So this was like a literal serious thing that the government did. And they were just trying to basically, keep up with the Russians.
That's amazing.
I know.
What was that movie that had like the most graphic, one of the most graphic killings? Wasn't it Scanners? That guy's head's like,
I don't know.
Blows up and the guy's like concentrating. That probably was. So where was psychoenergetics when I was in psychoenergetics?
Energetics.
It says energetics.
No, does it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Energetics, yeah.
Where was that when I was doing like high school planning for my future?
I don't know.
Where was that in the whole list?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, what's this one down here? Psychoenergetics?
I'd like to try that.
I like to think.
Yeah.
I think I could do this. Oh, that's crazy. I can't believe they dumped that much time. Seriously, was it 30 years or something?
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, almost, yeah. 25 years.
It's insane. You know what? We're giving up on this. I've had this massive migraine during the entire testing period.
Not worth it.
One thing is, United States sent a lot of planes. You know, everybody was trying to spy on everybody. And,
oh, yeah.
And spies were sent down on the ground. But the Lockheed U-2 was a really good spy plane. But they thought it was undetectable by radar, but mm-hmm. it wasn't.
Oh, really?
So when they realized that, hey, Russia's seeing us taking pictures and flying over all the time, we better kind of cloak this somehow. So they came up with some methods to try and get the U-2 plane to sing a song and come out with some pop hits. U-2.
I get you.
I didn't ever know that it was called the U-2. Anyway.
Well, that's the plane they used to take pictures of the Cuban Missile Crisis, isn't it?
I think it is the same one.
Same one, yeah.
So anyway, some of the ways they tried to cover it up was just like, I don't know if they put any thought into it or what.
Yeah.
So wallpaper was one of the one of the ideas is let's just cover the outside with this like hexagon shaped grid thing that would cause. So I guess I should say, so radar to anti-radar techniques fell into two categories. They were either absorbing the radar energy or creating the, a reflection. So it would either bounce off or just take it in, so it couldn't show either way. So the wallpaper was a method to kind of cause it to bounce off or no conduct. Sorry. Conductive pattern printed on a flexible sheet called a grid that was then glued to the honeycomb that was then applied to the aircraft. It was then, it was intended to be effective at higher frequency radar. So they'd shoot it up there and it would just gather up all the energy and it would not show as anything on the radar. The problem was, is that this wallpaper caused, it acted as a thermal insulator. And so the plane overheated. Oh, and caused the engine to fail and shut down, and actually it cost the life of one of the pilots.
Holy crap.
I know. He tried to bail out, but what happened is he lost control because the plane shut off, and then his helmet popped open, and he lost consciousness.
Oh, man.
And then when he kind of recovered his consciousness, he was at such a low altitude, he couldn't get out. So,
holy crap.
So they tried to cloak it, and they ended up killing their pilot. The next thing was they tried the trapeze, and this one seemed like... This seems like a like right after your wedding, like if you're in the Air Force, they're like, look, we tied all that stuff on your jet. So the trapeze method was a bunch of wires that, that came from like the front fuselage all the way across to the wings and back. And then all on all these wires were like bamboo pieces. And they caused that, like they figured that that would cause, it would reflect the radar. It would bounce off somehow.
Yeah.
And not show that the plane was in there. So this thing's like wood and stuff flapping around at who knows how fast.
What's that noise? Oh, and, just to you too.
That it would stop radar, but I think that they found it to be it caused too much drag.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wait a minute. All that wooden up there seems to be limiting your power. I don't know. This isn't gonna work. Then the other one was just wires, but not just any wire. The same thing is apparently the wood one didn't work, the trapeze method. But these wires were ran from the front and back and across the wings and along those. It was like beaded with like these little iron beads that would also act as like a reflective method for radar. But it's like a bedazzled jet. I'm flying that.
Oh,
you gotta be freaking kidding me.
Jeez.
But I'm just like, of all the technology to even have jets and the supersonic, all that crap, and then it's like, you got these guys putting wallpaper and
it's just like they're
tying wood to the jets.
They're
like,
bringing shit from their apartment. Let's try this. I got some wallpaper.
Hey, I'm almost done with this this Tupperware. Why don't we tape it on there?
Makes no sense,
man. Oh, man. I was like, what an embarrassment. But anyways, none of those worked very well. So that was a real gem in the history of Air Force.
That is nice. So this one is actually kind of gross what they did here. And a lot of people have actually probably heard of Project Sunshine. And this sounds nice. It sounds like it's a really good thing, but it is not a good thing at all. So
the
name of it's Sunshine. Like, oh, Project Sunshine. That's really nice. But what it was a series of research studies.
Nobody's going to look into those files because like, just more happiness.
Oh, sunshine. I don't need to deal with that. Let's look at these other ones. Let's look at this wallpapered jet plane.
Trapeze method?
Yeah, that's interesting. It was a series of research studies to ascertain the impact of radioactive fallout on the world's population. So there was obviously some fallout in the air and more in different places of the world, so they wanted to see how is this affecting people's bodies, you know? And the way they were doing that was with dead people. Right, so they were finding dead people and they were testing them, but the problem is this certain type of isotope or something they were trying to get. It was like the SR90 or something. It really shows itself in young people. So the only way they could get like the most accurate reading they want is to use babies. So literally, they were finding babies and cutting off limbs and testing them.
That, man.
I kid you not. So In a transcript of a secret meeting on January 18th, 1955, Dr. Willard Libby, a University of Chicago researcher who went on to win the 1960 Nobel Prize in Chemistry, acknowledged that the difficulty in getting human samples was resulting in great gaps in the project's findings. So they didn't have the right
human... We're not getting anywhere.
I need real dead people. So, and she said, I don't know how to get them, Libby is quoted in saying, but I do say that is a matter of prime importance to get them, and particularly in the young age group. So human samples are of prime importance, and if anybody knows how to do a good job of body snatching, they will really be serving their country. And so literally, they were taking dead babies. Like this one lady said that after her baby died, she wanted to put it in his baptism dress, the baby, and to bury it. But for some reason,
let me put it in a baptism dress.
Some like they wouldn't let her.
Oh.
The government wouldn't let her. And she's like, what the heck? Why not? And then years later, when they found out, it was because they had cut the baby's legs off. And they used it for testing.
They didn't want her to dress it? They're like,
They
wanted to find out.
Yeah, they didn't want her to find out. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude.
I thought it was prior to being buried, but they'd already hacked its leg. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ah.
So, anyways, that was Project Sunshine.
That is a real sunshine in the memory of American history.
People. Well, that a lot of that was done in the UK.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, I think it was between the UK, Australia, and the United States. There was a whole bunch of people involved, but I think UK was one of the biggest. So, pretty interesting.
It is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, on top of that, why don't we move on to living species to test? So, the... I actually want to read the plutonium files. Have you seen that?
No.
I had never seen that. So this, she actually, who was it? It was Eileen Welsom. Mm. She wrote a book on all these medical experiments during the Cold War.
Come on, Eileen.
And she actually won the Pulitzer Prize.
She did?
Yeah.
I'm not good at her.
So anyways, this experiment, so I guess this is your conspiracy here.
Okay.
But not so much because I think they've found enough records to support it. So they... During the Manhattan Project, when they were trying to figure out detonating the atomic bomb and everything, they wanted to see what effect the radiation had on human beings.
Yeah.
And apparently there wasn't many babies to dig up. But I'm sure this is actually a little before
it's probably testing in the 40s on those bodies.
Yeah, it was in the 40s. So they decided, why don't we just start using test subjects and we're going to inject radioactive material into them or other ways. So 18 people were injected with plutonium by the Manhattan Project doctors.
What?
Yeah. Eb Cade was an unwilling participant in the medical experiments that involved the injection of 4.7 micrograms of plutonium.
What? Unwilling? So they just
held
him down? Like, yeah, hey,
basically.
You're
or
getting
just
this.
Told him that he was getting an immunization.
What the fudge?
I know. It was under the supervision of Harold Hodge.
Huh.
So they were directed by the United States Atomic Energy Commission. So Albert Stevens, the man who survived the highest known accumulated radiation dose in any human, 4-year-old Simeon Shaw sent to Australia to the U.S. for treatment, and Elmer Allen are some of the notable subjects that have received this. So this is where it got really messed up. In Nashville, pregnant women were given radioactive mixtures. In Cincinnati, some 200 patients were irradiated over a period of 15 years.
What the crap?
They wanted to see the development of the children under radiation and everything. And the most messed up, in my opinion, 102 people received, in Massachusetts, 57 developmentally disabled children were fed oatmeal laced with radioactive tracers.
What the crap?
In an experiment sponsored by MIT and Quaker Oats Company.
Oh, my God!
Can you believe that?
Holy crap.
Well, they're already mentally disabled. Why don't we just have them eat some of this radiation?
The oats are healthy.
When I was reading this, I'm like, okay, maybe the
conspiracy theorists?
Yeah, the conspiracy about the...
chemtrails?
The chemtrails. I'm like, maybe they are really spraying everybody. I couldn't believe that, man.
Oh, my gosh. I've never heard that before.
But these are documented, and... There's not only her that's done these files and studies. There's a couple other books about them. Anyways, the government covered up most of these radiation mishaps.
Oh, yeah.
Until 1993, when President Bill Clinton ordered a change of policy and federal agencies then made available records dealing with the human radiation experiments.
Oh, my gosh.
That is insane.
Oh, man, it's disturbing.
So the Plutonium Files, that's the book that she wrote?
Yeah, I'm super interested
in the 90s
that.
Or something, I'm guessing? Yeah,
it says American Secret Medical Experiments in the Cold War, The Plutonium Files by Eileen Wilson.
I got to read that. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, so who knows? Right now, maybe the flu shot's just a little bit of plutonium.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, so there you go. That leads to some pretty messed up crap when people are terrified. Not so much terrified, but... Ugh.
Wow, that is insane, man.
Yeah, I thought that one was pretty bizarre.
That's interesting.
Well, anyway...
that's what we got for you today.
That kind of tops off your little bit of conspiracy. Yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Give your wife or your loved one some chocolate-laced radiotopes.
Yeah, if you want to get us a good Valentine's Day present, get us the Plutonium Files book, and we'll read it. All right?
Radiotopes.
Yeah.
Can't even talk. All right.
That's interesting.
Goodbye. All right.
Thank you, Cameron. We'll see you later.